Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
So Jin's new album, Echo, just came out this week. We're so excited to talk about it with you. We just want to share some of our like first impressions, first listen through experience with you to get started. I got to listen to it before work and Bethany really didn't get the chance to do so. It was a busy Friday morning.
Yeah.
So I was just like not trying to blow up her phone too much. I gave her like my quick Cliff Notes thoughts, but I wanted to give her time to like listen to it, digest it, and like come up with her own thoughts first.
You gave me your top three.
I did. Initial top three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was Background,
Rope It, and Loser.
Loser.
Yeah, yeah. I was going back and forth between Loser and I think maybe the last song, but I, you know, it's still to be decided. But I think Background and Rope It are pretty solidified up there.
Yeah.
But in the afternoon, came over to your house and caught up a little bit. And then we went onto your back patio and it was a gorgeous night. You know, you set the mood for us. You turned on your lights outside.
Yeah. And Millie was down for the night already. Mm-hmm. Corey was out with his friends. So it was like just Kayla and I back like in my back patio. We had some watermelon. We ate some watermelon while we were listening to it. I had the stringing lights all. So it was just like a gorgeous night. Like you were saying, it was not too hot outside. It was actually maybe a little brisk. So we had like blankets. So we just got to listen. It was my first time listening through, which was really kind of a fun experience because you were like, I'm going to just keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything. Like, I'm just going to let you experience the album. I will say, I didn't tell you this, but that Friday morning when I was walking into work, I had such a busy like morning with getting Millie to daycare and everything. It wasn't until I was walking into work that I was like, oh, shit, like Jen's album, like what? I could have been listening to this in the car. What am I thinking? And of all of the songs, I just quickly, like while I'm like walking outside, turned on Rope It just to hear a snippet of it because I was dying. I was dying to know. And I mean, I was already like, wow, okay, this sounds like a true country song and it's not like cheesy or corny or just like poor execution. Like I remember it being like, okay, this sounds like a straight up country song.
Yeah,
you know, like that could be played on the radio. So
I mean, we were really clowning on it in our first two episodes covering this album, like thinking like there's no way, come on. We just, it was inconceivable to us that there'd be a country song from a BTS member. But I mean, goddamn, Jin was the perfect one to do it and he killed it. And my favorite part of us hanging out and listening to the album together for the first time was watching you experience the full Rope It and knowing you were gonna love it as much as I did. And then we were both like, we need to line dance. We've line danced like one time when we went into a country bar underage that was line dancing, but like we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. You know, we're not from Texas, that's not our culture, you know, but we both stood up with our blankets on and like the song was playing and like without even having to communicate,
like no counting us in,
nothing,
like we didn't even count it was just like right at the same beat,
right?
We went in and we did the exact same moves of
like
line dancing,
weave step to the left. And then we absolutely died laughing.
I mean, we were like laughing hysterically. We were like practically on the ground because we thought it was so fucking hilarious.
It was, I mean, it was incredible. That was such a great moment. And like I love when we have music moments like that. I mean, first listening experience to the album together was amazing.
It was incredible. Yeah. It was like, it reminds me of a lot of our previous album reviews that we've done, like D2, where we get to like experience the album and really digest it in person together instead of just, you know, texting about it or researching about it, like actually just enjoying. Like, we didn't do any research. We were just digesting, listening, talking about that album in real time. No agenda, just
nothing beats it.
Sharing our thoughts. Nothing beats it. Absolutely.
It was incredible. And I mean, we have such reverence for this album at this point, especially just from having that time. And now since then diving into the lyrics. And so we are really, really excited to talk about it today.
Lots to share today.
Yeah, we do. So let's get into it.
Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour and we are doing our ECHO album review. If you haven't sat in on an album review with us before, we go through each of the songs on the album. We talk about the writers, the producers, the production, the sound of the song. And then we get into the lyrics and meaning and get a little bit deeper with what these songs are actually talking about.
Yeah, it's a really good time. Before we get into the episode, we really want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. And please come and join our Iconic Hangout this Tuesday, upcoming Tuesday. That is May 27th. We will be doing Gin Jeopardy. If you've done Jeopardy with us before, we are going to shorten it a little bit so that way we can just be conscious of everybody's time and not run too far over, like into 8:30.
I know.
But, you know, a cool 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We would love to see you there. If you haven't come before, it is not a problem. You're going to get to know everybody. It's going to be a blast. It's always so fun. Everyone who's come has said they really enjoyed it. Yeah. So join us for Gin Jeopardy.
Yes, it's going to be so much fun. Please hang out with us. We're already working on the questions and we've got some good stuff for you. That's for sure. Yeah. So thank you all for being here, for all of your support, and of course for listening.
All right. So let's get into this album. First track is called Don't Say You Love Me. This is the hit track that also has an accompanying music video. We won't be talking about the music video at all today, but we do want to talk about this song completely with you all. It was written and produced by Wyatt Sanders and Nathan Fertig. The production, you know, it starts with a super low bass line that's bringing in some of kind of that heartbreak feel of the song that's kind of constant throughout. But there's also a nice simple drum kit. There's some dreamy chords going on with the guitar. Something we did notice about this song is there's not a lot of build in the song. There's no, like, for us, it doesn't feel like there's a big climactic moment. It's very level throughout as far as production and even Jin's vocals. And it really has this like soft pop kind of rock vibe. What he does really well with his vocals is that you can almost hear the heartbreak come through. He's such a phenomenal vocalist that he's able to put that emotion in. We talk a lot about how BTS focuses on including that emotion in their songs, and he really carries that through here. He is in his higher register most of the song, so if you're looking for like that deep full voice Jin, you're not finding that here, but it is very lovely. And really, this song, when we listen to it, it makes me feel like we miss someone. We can all think back to someone or like a relationship like this, and it's very reminiscent, and I think we can understand these feelings and these emotions that he brings to us here.
It really fits like soundtrack. It fits like a soundtrack for a movie or a soundtrack to your life. Very much you could be sitting in the car looking out the window, reminiscing on a relationship or some heartbreak that you might be going through. Like, it's cathartic in that way.
Totally, completely.
So this song is all in English, and I believe it's the only song on the entire album that's fully in English. So it being the hit track, it kind of makes sense. So let's get into some of these lyrics and meanings. So in the very first verse, we see a lot of parallels to Running Wild and the visuals of like driving in a car. He says, Hopped in the car, put it in drive. I tried to leave like 100 times, but of course he keeps going back to this person. But there's just a little bit of that visual connection and parallel to Running Wild.
We like that idea of the continuity between the two albums, between Happy and Echo. We felt like that was intentional there.
Especially with this being the first song on the album.
Totally. Yeah. And then getting into the pre-chorus, this is where he's really talking about like the pain that he's in, saying faking a smile while we're breaking apart. It's too late to save me, so don't even start. It just feels like this is so painful. Like faking a smile is the worst when you know things are so wrong on the inside. And then the too late to save me is like, it's too late to keep me from the heartbreak. I'm experiencing it regardless. So stop pretending like you're doing me any favors here. You know, like, let's just get through it.
Yeah. Let's just call it good.
Right.
Yeah. This back and forth is more painful. And in the chorus, he says, don't tell me that you're going to miss me. Just tell me that you want to kill me. Don't say you love me because it hurts the most. You just got to let me go. And this really shows how it seems like a lie. Like, don't say you're going to miss me. And this person, it's giving me the impression that this person is in a nasty, you know, it's a nasty breakup kind of thing. It's like they clearly care about each other, but it's just not a good fit. And so this person's saying, I am going to miss you, but that's just more painful. It's confusing, super confusing, because it's like, well, if you're going to miss me, why do you not want to be together kind of
thing? Why break up? Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it feels like a lie, and the confusion of this person saying they'll miss you is more painful than just killing them. Like, it's torture. It's too painful to hear. Yeah.
Also, the first time listening through this song, you kind of think like he's gonna say, just tell me that you want to kiss me, instead of that you're gonna miss me. Like, maybe he's gonna say like, oh, like, stay with me type of thing. But it's the extreme opposite. Yeah. It's like, no, you're just, like, clearly what you're doing is killing me. Just be honest with what your actions are causing,
which is what makes that line stand out even more. Totally. Kill me.
I agree. And then in verse 2, he's talking about that he thought that this was for the best and that it never worked out last time he checked. But yet he still has a pain stuck in his chest, and it gets worse the further apart they get from each other. So it's like, it's kind of showing that in this relationship, in this narrative of this song, they keep going back to each other. They keep trying to make it work. You know, last time he checked, that didn't work out for them either, you know?
Yeah.
So he knows that this, you know, he knows where this is going to end. Mm-hmm. He knows that it just gets harder every time that they have to say goodbye, because they're clearly not good for each other.
Yeah.
But the more that he misses her because they keep getting back together, the more that it hurts at the same time.
Exactly. It's a tough place to be in. I feel like a lot of people can relate to this in those relationships where both parties care about the other person, but really it just isn't a good fit. And so there is a lot of, you hear of people who break up and get back together, break up, get back together, or they're together, but they can't put a relationship title to it. Right. And there's confusion around that. Yeah, that kind of stuff. So later on in the chorus, there's some additional lyrics that are added in. He ends up saying, lie to me, tell me that you hate me, look me in the eyes and call me crazy. And so this is kind of going off of that, don't say you miss me, yeah, I'd rather you kill me kind of thing.
Right.
That he needs a good reason to stay away from this person. So he's saying, even if it's a lie, just tell me that you hate me, because I'd rather hear that. It would help me move on quicker. Look me in the eyes and tell me that I'm crazy. That would give me a reason to be like, all right, never mind. I don't want to be with you. Like, you're calling me crazy. You say you hate me. That would make this breakup so much more easy to just
get through and cope with, and like, honestly, like, stick with your decision.
Exactly.
And, you know, be resolved in why you're breaking up.
Yeah.
But when that's not going on, it's much harder to make that clean cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
this is a situation many people have been in, and I think Jin beautifully portrays it with his vocals, and these are, you know, pretty solid lyrics here.
Yeah.
It does stand out as the only English song on the album, which I think is, like, super common in K-pop now to have, like, one hit track English song and then more that are more largely Korean, and I really like that balance.
I think that's too. A good medium. I think it's medium. Perfect vibe. Yeah. For sure. Okay, well, let's get into the next song, which is Nothing Without Your Love. This has a lot of writers and producers, so I'll just list off a couple of the people who have worked on this song. Jen did work on this song, P-Dog, Benjamin Samama, Digital Farm Animals, Matt Thompson, Max Graham, just a couple familiar names that we've heard before.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this is the song that in the highlight melody we said sounds like Sims background music.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, we stand by it. Yeah. It still does. It really still does. But like, in like, immediately we could tell his vocals add so much to it.
Yeah.
I think what we pinpointed is it's the jumping synths in the background that sounds like The Sims. And it's mm-hmm. not necessarily a bad thing. Once it's in our head, it's kind of like hard to forget about. But I would say this song has grown on us the most out mm-hmm. of all the songs on the album. And like, we love it now. And honestly, his vocals have like a great crescendo and, you know, great usage of vocals. Bethany, I texted you today that his vocals in this song remind me of him in The Astronaut.
Oh,
which I thought was a huge compliment to the song.
I think so too. Like, his vocals are the center. Yeah. Absolutely the center. I feel that those jumping synths in the background and the instrumental creates a much more upbeat and quicker tempoed song compared to the last song that we just had. And it gives a lot of build to the chorus, but truly it's his vocals on display that are adding so, so much. And in the background too, you can hear lots of pretty oohs and ahs in the vocals that are in the backtrack. This song overall, like Nothing Without Your Love, is a lot more hopeful. And Jen's voice, the way that he's singing, is very declarative and almost confessional. Like he's come to a realization, like, I am nothing without your love. I stand by it. I figured it out. I'm declaring it. And like, this is my confession of love to you is kind of what it sounds like. So lots more of emotion coming through in his vocals. They're absolutely incredible. I mean, his emotions were strong in the last song too, but like much more heartbreak, like sad kind of vibes.
Totally. But this one is like confident, self-assured. Mm-hmm. I made my decision and I'm standing on it, you know?
Yeah.
Very, very well done with the emotion in this song.
Yeah. So let's get into the lyrics and meaning for Nothing Without Your Love. In the pre-chorus, he says, "In my empty world, when you, a stranger, approached me, only then did I feel like I found myself. I'm nothing without your love." So here in the pre-chorus, these lyrics are pretty straightforward in that he's realizing fully what his existence is and that this person is who helped complete him, like realizing his full potential and ability to love through finding this other person. Like, you complete me.
Yeah.
I'm nothing without your love.
Right. And even like talking about that they were a stranger at first, but it was almost like he instantly knew, like, mm-hmm. upon their approach, like, oh, this is what I was missing. And this is how I realized my full self, my full capability and who I am. Going into the chorus, I love this chorus so much. He's saying, thinking about you and me in this endless long night, be my bright light. I'm nothing without your love. You are my life. You're all of me. In shining memories, stay with me forever. I'm nothing without your love.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. These mm-hmm. lyrics to us like read as declaring this other person as his soulmate, that your loves and your lives really are so connected. You are each other's better half. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like this is a very sweet chorus. It's something that could be played at like a wedding reception mm-hmm. or maybe like an alternative version made for like walking down the aisle. And Bethany, you said it could be like the K-drama climactic song where the couple like finally figures their shit out and they, you know, it's the montage of them like running through the city to get together and, you know, realizing like, this is who I need to be with.
Yeah. Climax, like, or even end of the movie, like full conclusion. Yes. Like, we are meant to be. We got through the struggle. Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, very sweet chorus. It is. Lots of wonderful sentiment there.
Yeah. In the second verse, he says, "Whenever I wander in endless darkness, you're like the sunlight at the end of a tunnel, brilliantly leading me." And this really just reminds me of like kind of that typical saying of your significant other, of saying, you know, when you're by each other's side, the darkest times, we can get through them. Mm-hmm. You know, if, as long as you're there with me, I can keep going through some of the most awful moments in life and somehow still have the strength to make it through. You're that brilliant light that's leading me and getting me through the darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a lot of gratitude for the other person.
For the love that you have for this other person and for the life that you share together. I think this is such a beautiful representation of love in this song. When we, you know, when I first read the title, like Nothing Without Your Love, coming off of the first song, I thought that it would be very like more angsty or more, you know, like pining, but it's really not. I think it's like from listening to it, obviously, in the lyrics, it's a celebration of how beautiful love can be, especially shared between two soulmates, two people that are meant to be together.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I just, I really love this song. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
So next on the album is Loser, and this song is featuring Yenna. So again, lots of writers and producers for Loser, so we'll just go through a handful of them. P-Dog and Jin worked on this song. Matt Thompson, Max Graham, Matt Attard, Kiara Muscat, Ryan Bickley, Ghost Loop also worked on this song. So just a large amount of people. And honestly, I feel like a lot of these producers also ended up working on like Nothing Without Your Love. Like there's a lot of similar.
A lot of overlap. There's like 15 more people listed that we're not going to list out, but they'll be in the document.
So for the production of this song, man, okay, we talked a lot about how just hearing the medley, this is like absolute alternative punk, you know, maybe a little bit of a surfer rock sound. At the very beginning of the song, this was so standout to me. This prominent wood block that's like just super steady, like thunk, 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 thunk. It sounds a little bit like a cowbell, but it's not like there's not enough like, it doesn't sound
brassiness to it.
A metal that's being hit. It's definitely like a wood block. And then there's a strong electric guitar that's playing the melody. Like the actual melody that you hear Jin sing in the chorus at the beginning is the melody that the guitar is playing.
It's so good.
It's infectious. I love it. It's very infectious. Gets you rocking your head. You are like ready to rock out to this song when you hear it. The drums then come in. There's another supporting guitar that comes in during the first verse. So yeah, pretty accurate in our predictions from just seeing the title Loser and the way that it was like the original track list that was released,
the style.
Font and stylization of it. We were like, oh yeah, this is definitely going to be like an alternative punk.
Right.
And we have to talk a little bit about Yenna because she is the perfect feature for this song. She's absolutely incredible in it. Her voice reminds me so much of Gwen Stefani, which I had previously mentioned in one of the last episodes talking about the song that I was picturing like a No Doubt kind of sound based on what we heard from the medley. And so it just kind of is perfect, you know, I feel that it's the super sweet spot of alternative punk, and having Yenna as a feature where not only does her voice go well with Jen, but also she's just executing. Like, she understood the assignment of what the song is, this punk alternative.
She kills
sound.
It. Yeah. She's able to let out like those punk like yelps, you know, uh-huh. and they're perfect. They're like the cherry on top of this mm-hmm. whole song. Yeah. Right when she came in, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, immediately song made. Like, yeah. Jen was already killing it. When she came in, I was like, it's complete. This is perfection.
Yeah, like, you would swear that this is her sole genre that she does.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, epic vocals in this song. Throughout the song, for both of them, they have like increasing high notes, immaculate punk tone, and like Bethany said, they match up so well with their vocals, but they also don't get lost in the heavy instrumentation, because there's mm-hmm. a lot going on. They have like a lot of those punk instruments in the background mm-hmm. going hard. Like, there's a lot of jamming out, but their vocals don't get lost. They're able to like compete with it in a very good way.
Yeah.
The production on the song is just beautiful, and yeah, this song is addictive.
It's addictive. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. Let's get into the lyrics. Oh, it's definitely top three. Because I really love, it starts out with the chorus, and like Bethany said, the electric guitar is playing the melody that Jen is singing. And on top of this, the lyrics, like, they have a great rhythm in the words that they chose. Like, you love me, you miss me, you tell me I'm beautiful. Baby, you need me, you don't want to let me go. It just yeah. has a phenomenal rhythm mm-hmm. with the guitar, this incredible. It's giving some of the back and forth that Don't Say You Love Me was evoking, you know, like, where are we going with this type of mm-hmm. feeling? But like this rhythm, this starting rhythm with the guitar, with like the choppiness of the vocal, like the lyrics, it really hooks you into the song. It makes me want to keep pressing repeat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And just continuing off of that, further on here in the chorus, they end up going like back and forth still, but they end up saying lyrics of like, oh baby, that's stupid love, you base it all on me, it's all stupid love, I'm too precious to lose, like a loser. And then they go on to say, loser, loser, loser. Yeah. And we are so obsessed with the loser repeats and how like each loser goes up like half a step or like half an octave or something. It's theatrical in a way and how it's done, and it really gives off that back and forth banter. It feels like Jen and Yenna are like really going at it. Like, they are like, I'm too good for you, I'm too precious, I have too much pride, like, you're making me look like a loser, I can't be a loser, you're the loser, you know, like, it's right. just this super playful back and forth. It doesn't seem like they're like angry at each other necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's just playful in a way.
Taken out of context, like, if someone was just screaming this at each other, sure, it could sound like a fight, but in this way, the way they're performing it with like the melody, it sounds so much more playful.
Yeah.
With the instruments there, I also want to point out in the lyrics of the chorus, the first line, oh baby, that's stupid love, like calling love stupid. Later on, when they say it's all stupid love, it's all stupid comma love, like they're calling each other love.
Yeah.
So that's like a little bit of the lightheartedness and the playfulness coming through, like, who's gonna be the winner in this situation, like, we're both kind of losers, like, yeah. but they have like mutual respect for each other at mm-hmm. the same time,
slightly endearing there. Yeah
totally,
for sure. And it's, they're basically saying like, this love is stupid and neither of us want to come out being the loser. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got too much pride.
And also, isn't love stupid sometimes? Uh-huh. You know, like, that's what it is too.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah. So in Yenna's verse, she says, no matter what you say, it just sounds like noise. Oh, who was the one who liked me first? I know that you know.
Snap.
I think it's very sassy, you know, like saying, oh yeah, you're talking. I can't even hear you. It's all noise. Like, I know the truth. You fell in love with me first.
Right.
And I know that you know that. So it's just kind of throwing it back at them. Like, I just think it's phenomenal.
Like, and let's not forget, you're the one pining after me here. Yeah. You know, you're the one who needs
putting
to
you in
win
your place,
my approval.
Right. Like, you exactly. wanted me originally.
Right.
Yeah,
you're not going to make me feel like this. Yeah. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when we were going through this song, listening to it, going through these lyrics and just hearing Yenna's verse, you guys cannot take me the wrong way when I say this, because I mean it as a compliment. But it was giving a little bit of like, High School Musical. Like, in I was picturing, like, just because of how theatrical and playful this song is, it comes off to me as if you're at all familiar with High School Musical. It's like as if Troy and Sharpay were to have, like, actually gotten together. Like, clearly they were not meant to be. Maybe they dated for a short amount of time and this is their, like, quote on breakup, you know? Like, I'm too good for you. No, I'm too good for you. Like, you're the loser. I'm not the loser. Like, it's just silly.
Yeah.
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 But it's, like, phenomenal. Like, I mean, come on. Bet on It, that song, that is still on my iPod, you know, like, I still listen to that song.
It's on your workout playlist.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Bangers.
Bet on It. Yeah. Bet on It. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I, when you told me this, before the words were even out of your mouth, I was thinking she's going to say High School Musical
because
I was totally tracking what you were saying, but it totally makes sense. And I don't think that it's like a dig on the song at all.
No.
Like it really does, emphasize how theatrical this song is.
Yeah.
And it's not like crazy over the top, but it does have that great duet back and forth quality that
it's
is
catchy.
Super
it's
catchy.
Fun. Mm-hmm. It's playful. It's even like a No Doubt Holla Back Girl kind of type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fun. Yeah.
I don't know when I've ever heard a song quite like this.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the playfulness, the duet, but the punk at the same mm-hmm. time, like the style of the production with like the lyrics. I just think it's
yeah.
incredible. Real quickly, just want to talk about the bridge. They're both saying, like, they're kind of going back and forth. One of them singing loser in the background while the other one says, like, not a loser, or you're a loser, or what a loser. If you lose me, loser, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, I just love it. It's like their final screaming match, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're back and forth using loser in all these different ways. I just think it's a brilliant way.
It is.
They have like another chorus, you know, where they're back and forth at the end of this song. But I think the bridge is phenomenal.
It is
that climax of like that screaming match there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
So much fun.
Clearly
I absolutely adore this song. It's one of the songs that when I open up the album, I want to click on it. I want to listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
I go to it immediately.
Definitely. Let's talk about Rope It. Oh my gosh, finally.
Highly anticipated.
We teased it so much.
Yeah.
And I just like, I think it's so funny how much, I mean, I know you were too, but I felt like I was really clowning on this song
mm-hmm.
with the title and with the highlight medley. And I'm so glad that I love it so much. Like the first time listening through it, I was like, damn, this song is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of these writers and producers responsible for this song. Just like the previous songs, there's a lot of people listed. So I'll just list some of the main ones that we have heard before, like P-Dawg, Ghost Loop, Benjamin Samama, Ellie Su is on here. She's been on a couple other ones. And of course, Jin. Jin is also on the song as a writer and a producer, which is really cool to see. I feel like this is like his professional version of Super Tuna.
Mm-hmm.
This is like he wanted to do something off the wall, totally unexpected, something that on his tour he could just fucking ham it up on stage,
mm-hmm.
have some like hilarious and amazing choreography. And this is what came of that.
Yeah.
I mean, this song literally made both of us like try to see, can we get tickets for Jin's tour?
Oh yeah. Single-handedly. Like we were out there. We already knew that we couldn't make Jin's tour happen just with our schedules and everything. But hearing this song and vibing out to it so much and envisioning what he's going to do
on stage,
we're like, can we make it happen?
How
like,
can we go? Make,
like, we're going to go to his concert just to see Rope It performed live.
Like, we're obviously going
to. That's how good it is.
We're obviously going to watch the live stream, but I think we're going to feel like immense FOMO to not be able to be there in person.
We're going to be missing out.
That's how good this song is that we thought about like somehow changing PTO and like all of
work?
Our plans. Just to like fly to a U.S. city to see this song in concert. So let's talk about this production and vibe of the song. Like Bethany said in the walk-in, this is an immediate country western vibe. Right at the beginning, we get like a Wild West style whistle.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And like a horse whinny sets the mood immediately.
Yes.
You know where it is. There, you know, we're in the desert.
Uh-huh.
There's an old saloon. There's tumbleweeds rolling by. It's dusty. It's hot. That's what's going on. Immediately
we're walking
puts
through
us in
the
that
saloon
setting.
Doors.
Right, exactly. We're pushing them open.
In our boots,
exactly.
Tassels.
It with our chaps on.
Uh-huh.
You know, our big cowboy hat. Yeah. seriously iconic. And then we can you tell how much we love this song? There's a harmonica, and then there's a call and response to some of Jin's lines too, which was also a big reason why we were like, fuck, like they're
with
gonna
a whistle.
They're with
whistling
a whistle.
The response.
Yeah, and there's gonna do call and response at the concert, like with ARMY.
Oh yeah.
Like, no, we're gonna miss it. There's also an incredible country style electric guitar. There's drums, and the drums are more in the background than recent songs on the album. Like I would say for this song, it's the vocals that are more forward, as opposed to like maybe on Loser, where it was kind of like in that punk style, they're kind of fighting back and forth for attention. But seriously, like we said, it's the perfect line dancing song.
The beat is infectious. All of ARMY's are line dancing to this song.
I have been scouring TikTok for a full line dance. I want to learn it. I want to do it. I found a pretty good one a couple days ago. Sent it to you, Bethany. I still haven't tried to learn it, but I think we could. Doesn't look that hard.
I mean, we just about made our own line dance out there the other night. Like, I think we could.
I think we could. It's been so fun to see the reaction to the song online, and ARMY's just immediately getting behind it. I want to see it played in country western line dancing bars. I want, you know, I want everyone.
So much fun.
I did see during a listening party in LA, they were line dancing to this song, like live on the spot, making up a dance the night it came out. Like that's iconic.
That is iconic. Yeah.
Only Kim Seok Jin.
Right. And his vocals are perfection in this song. We really have talked so much, just Kayla and I together, like how does his voice suit this style so well? It's like something about the tone and character that you hear in Jin's voice that just makes it work. He takes it seriously and leans into the style so well. It's not even like, I could see how if he was trying to imitate a country sound or a country accent that it could really be off-putting or not sound right. And he doesn't do that. It's like he just emphasizes his natural tone, maybe adds a little bit of nasally noise to it. But other than that, it suits it. It's perfect. Like it's just his voice.
There's some parts where he's like, you know, he gets a little rough at the end, you know, but it's like he really leans into the style. It's as if he listens to country music and is like a fan of country music is the way that it comes across. Yeah. I love it. We love it.
We love it. He executes it so well. I particularly love when Jin sings the line, "Dancing in the light."
Oh, my God.
Oh, the low vocals go off. Like I could listen to that on repeat forever. Like I don't think get to hear Jin in his lower register very often. So super sexy to be hearing him sing this low register in a country song. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Oh, it's going to be so fun at the concert.
It shows so much range
that
he has. I mean, we know this about him, but at the concert, I'm really hoping for him to, you know, those toy horses, it's like a stick with a horse head. When you like click its ear, it neighs. I want him on one.
Oh yeah,
I want him riding one around stage, slapping his own ass,
line dancing.
I want him to line dance while holding it. You know, I want him to tip his hat to us. I can see the whole performance in my mind right now.
Yeah I would love a mechanical bull, but to sing on a mechanical bull at the same time, I don't know.
Imagine he gets on the mechanical bull and he's singing like the chorus.
What if there's an instrumental break and gets it on the mechanical bull and like rides it until he flings off of it?
Obviously, that's what's
going
to happen.
And then he picks up his pink mic and keeps going.
Yes, 100%.
Gets back on his horse stick and then starts line dancing.
He should have on the GA, like on the floor, he should have a mechanical bowl for ARMY to get on.
Stop.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Just,
like everyone in that section, they can do it.
I mean, there's just so much wild, chaotic shit he could do with this song at the concert to make it just, he's going to keep us on our toes. You know, he's going to do something. Yeah.
Incredible.
All right, let's get into the lyrics and meaning. We really just feel like this song has like a general overall meaning. There's not like a whole lot of depth to, well, I can't say that, but like no like significant wordplay or specific lyrics that really
stand out.
Yeah, we
don't have
really
to go over
out.
Like all the specific lyrics here.
But generally it has a really nice message. So this song really is talking all about taking a leap of faith. And then the song hypes you up to do whatever you feel that you're destined to do in life. Like, he's encouraging you to take that leap of faith and just cheering you on to go on and do what you feel that you're meant to do.
Yeah.
Jump into whatever your goal is with both feet. Don't hesitate and have confidence. Like, don't just put one foot in, you know, try it out. He's saying, no, jump all the way in.
Amazing. Like, what a fantastic message packaged up in this incredibly fun song. Mm-hmm. The chorus talks about not wavering despite what others may think or judge you for. And like, he's also quoting Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's intentionally, like, I don't know that he wrote those lines. Somebody who wrote this knows that Michelle Obama said.
I did not know that was her line.
When they go low, we go high. Maybe she's not the first one to say it, but uh-huh. She's like one of the most famous people to say that. She said that in one of her speeches, uh-huh. And like on the campaign trail. And it was such a powerful moment because it was like, you don't have to stoop to other people's level who are like hating or, you know, talking trash. Mm-hmm. You can take the high road,
right.
And you can, you know, just boost yourself up and know what you're doing is the right track for you. So that line just really, really stood out to me. But I love that part because then when he says hi, he sings it in a high note. Mm-hmm. It's epic. And then there's a post chorus. Everybody knows where it's rope it. Oh, yeah. So good. To us, like, we talk about mantras that BTS give us in their lyrics all the time. And, you know, this is a mantra, honestly. This is a mantra for seizing that moment and that destiny that you want, that you're working for, roping it in, pull it in, yeah. Claim it. It is yours. Mm-hmm. Take that life that you want and rope it. Grab it. Oh my God, grab it by the horns. Like, yeah. Just take it, you know? Yeah. I love it.
I love it too. I was saying it's a country version of Idol or even like that. Like, it's very positive, upbeat. Go and reach your goals. Keep going and just helping you get there.
A lot of encouragement in this song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the best song in the album? I'm afraid so. For me, I think it is.
I will keep it at a very, very close number two. What makes me want to move it to number one was our listening experience together, yeah. And how amazing that was and all that's come of it. I can't knock this song for anything. It's incredible.
If you think about it in the lens of like, what would Jen want us to get from this song? And we have like a really funny core memory together now, just like going out and trying to line dance to the song and just having a blast, and like this song having like a crazy story and arc for us, and how we were like kind of shitting on it at the beginning,
and now we're like,
you know, we look like fools.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, there's a lot of just meaning and just happiness that the song brought, and it gave us a good laugh that I think Jen would say, hey, mission accomplished.
I think he would love to know that that's the effect that he had on us with this song, and I'm sure many other ARMY had a similar experience here too. I hope that he knows how much joy this album is bringing, especially Rope It. Incredible.
I agree. All right, so the next song on the album is With the Clouds. This was written and produced by very few people, so we're going to list them all here, and a lot of very familiar names. So P-Dog, Jin, Adore, and Yujiro Noda worked on this song. So collectively four people, which compared to all of the other songs, it's very few except for the hit track. And so that alone was already giving us the idea that this song was a little bit more intimate, a little bit more close to home. The lyrics mm-hmm. are very personal. So for this song's vibe and production, the song at the start has a lot of very strong BTS nostalgia themes with how there's a pitched up sample that's used. To me, it's similar to a microcosmos with a guitar. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like to me.
Let me say, like, P-Dog is definitely responsible for that pitched up vocal.
Yeah.
Like, that's so him. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that he produced this song, like, obviously that's something that he would put on here.
Right. Yeah. And I feel
to give that nostalgia.
He's putting that BTS sound directly into the song because of what the song is about. And for Adore to be writing on this song too is very BTS to the core. And Jen, I just, yeah, you hear the BTS influence in this song with the production. The guitar melody reminds me so much of Good Riddance or Time of Your Life by Green Day. This song has a lot of switch ups, but that guitar, it comes back. I can't remember if it's like the pre-chorus, just before the pre-chorus or whatever, mm-hmm. but that guitar that comes through. So much Good Riddance, which I don't know if you know that song at all, but it's basically like a send-off, like, I enjoyed our time together. Maybe we're not together anymore, but like,
I wish you well.
I wish you well. Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate wish you well song.
Right.
Yeah. And so I feel like that's similar kind of
some of the inspo.
This
totally.
Song makes you feel.
That guitar sound definitely evokes that same kind of emotion.
Yeah.
You talked about the tempo changes. There are tempo changes that happen, but they happen with the change from like the verse to the pre-chorus. And then there's also a key change before the chorus. And so this is something that's more common in K-pop now, like the newer generation of K-pop songs to have a big switch up like that. Mm-hmm. I do think they did it really well in this song where it's not super disjointed. The first time listening to this song with you on the album, I was like, I wanna really like this song.
Yeah.
Like I hear all of like the great elements and I'm just not quite connecting how they work together between the tempo shifts and the key change. But I felt like once we got into the lyrics, I would understand. Yeah. And I think it's masterful what they did here because it is so purposeful how they switch it up, when and why. And it definitely goes along with the lyrics as we'll get into here.
Yeah.
To switch up your emotion and to mm-hmm. switch up, you know, the feeling that you're getting, the nostalgia, the joy, the excitement. It's all there. And I love what they did with it. I've totally come around on that kind of key change and tempo
switch up. First time listening through, it is a bit jarring. You're like, oh, where are they going with it here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But overall, I think this song makes us feel very light, very hopeful, very reminiscent.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into the lyrics.
So these lyrics right from the start are so BTS ARMY coded. There's a lot of mentions of a lot of symbolism that is used in BTS songs. Things like clouds, the rain, the stars, promises, mentions of like an inner child. It just really feels like Jin's emotions, it feels like Jin's emotions while going through the solo work mm-hmm. and anticipating coming back together with his members. I really feel that in the lyrics here, that he's specifically talking to BTS, addressing his solo work and what's yet to come.
I totally agree. So let's dive into the lyrics that say this. So in the first verse, he says, "The clouds today hold all of me, traveling the endless sky. The sunsets glow this night where stars gleam. A small fluttering grows more and more. Standing alone at the edge of solitude, to me, who doesn't know where to go, in the cold, frozen silence, your warm whisper, the voice that held me." So many things, like Bethany already mentioned, that, you know, like the stars, you know, evoke thoughts of BTS, but the small fluttering reminded us of the song Butterfly. But in this verse, the small fluttering really symbolizes the nervousness that he's feeling here, anticipating. This feels like at the beginning of his solo work journey. Maybe this is after the astronaut. Maybe this is post-military and he's stepping out with Happy for the first time. And he's planning on doing Echo later on and trying to figure out what that solo sound is for him and how daunting that could feel. Mm-hmm. Definitely feels like nervousness, maybe a hint of excitement, but standing alone at the edge of solitude and not knowing where to go is like how he feels branching out, not sure of himself, and that edge of solitude, like he doesn't have the safety zone of his members around him, but he feels that warm whisper from them. So it's like that bit of support saying like, you can do this, and you know, maybe that encouragement from them. So it's kind of like an echo in the wind maybe, but it's, you know, it's not quite there, but he, you know, he's in that solitude, but he knows that he can do it because of it.
Absolutely. That warm whisper. I feel that that's for sure like that comforting BTS voice, you know, Your Warm Whisper, the voice that held me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's feeling that extra security of, I can do this because even if my members aren't here, but that comfort of my members are who are encouraging me to do this. Yeah. In the pre-chorus, he says, in the faint clouds on the traces left behind, is it what I left or your raindrops? We two drifting in the tranquil sky, let's promise to dream of bright days together forever. Dream together forever. Like, it just, all the BTS feels here. Mm-hmm. But it's really beautiful imagery. The drifting in the tranquil skies is so gorgeous. And it shows that we're happy, us two, we two, together. Let's promise to dream of bright days forever together. And I just think that it's a very optimistic view of the future. Yeah. And keeping a promise and continuing to dream of bright days ahead.
Yeah, and we felt like when he said we two, that it's like him as one and the rest of BTS as the other. Like, mm-hmm. he's referring to himself and then the group, mm-hmm. As a whole. And yeah, it does have that very hopeful, promising future. Mm-hmm. We really love the chorus. So we're going to break down all the lyrics here for the chorus. The first two lines, he says, will you disappear if I touch you clumsily? I'm a frightened child. And so this is, we feel like it's representing him talking about how there might be a bit of awkwardness perhaps in figuring out how to come back together as a group after all this time apart, after all the solo work. You know, Yoongi's toured, J-Hope's toured, they've all had different experiences in the military. They might have different goals now or different ideas of where they want to take the group mm-hmm. of BTS and how they want to get back into it. There might be like a new kind of growing pain, and he's acknowledging this, and maybe a bit of the fear of like, you know, fumbling a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like their first meeting again. Almost. Right.
It's just like if like a football team or a soccer team or whatever haven't played together in a while, it takes a little bit before you start clicking again.
Yeah, you got to get back into that rhythm.
It's a little bit of like clumsiness, awkwardness. You're not as synchronized as you once were.
Totally. Then he continues to say, let's create words of a promise that will never fade. And to us, this was talking about creating a safe space together that they can all come back to, and promising to come back together as a group and saying like, here, we've created this, let's do this together. Yeah. A little bit of magic shop vibes to me there, but instead of like a magic shop for ARMY, mm-hmm. it's like one for them, which I thought was very beautiful.
That is beautiful. So further in the chorus, he says, if the tears holding your sadness are rain, I'll gladly soak it all up, take it all, so that your pure white heart doesn't turn black, just like the day we began. Oh, and these lyrics are just so heavy to me. Mm-hmm. So much significance in what he's saying here. Each member of BTS has had their own struggles, but Jin has such a carefree and strong personality that I feel his role and what he has felt he's there for in BTS is to be the person who could like bear some of the pain. You know, he's so willing to do that. He wants to just bring happiness to everyone. He understands that there's a lot of weight on like RM's shoulders and Yoongi's shoulders, and Jin, all he wants to do is be able to relieve them of that. I feel like him saying, if the tears holding your sadness are rain, I want to be able to soak it up. Like, I'll mm-hmm. soak it up. I don't mind. I'll take it all. Because he wants to make sure that his members have pure white hearts that don't turn black, that they don't get burnt out. Mm-hmm. And he just remembers the day that they began. Yeah. You know, just like the day we began. And I mean, you could go and say that some of these lyrics might be ARMY, but I just feel like the mention of like your pure white heart doesn't turn black. Like,
it makes me think of the Arson music video. The Arson music video. And that literal absolutely. Visual of J-Hope's heart burning up because he's used up all of his passion and all of his energy. And now it's just like a barely smoking ember by the mm-hmm. end of that, you know? And I mean, I love the idea of the pure white heart that they had at the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. back when they were trainees, back when they barely debuted and they were struggling, you know, to find success, but they were still hopeful and working yeah. hard and not like, you know, beaten down by the world and by all of
the hate, the industry, the whatever.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just love the idea that Jin, like, he's always been kind of that comic relief for the group. Yeah. Always, like, he doesn't take things too seriously. And I think that they all need that. I think that yeah. that's such an important role for them all to have. He also has, like, incredible nuggets of wisdom
that really does.
Reminds them to not take things too seriously yeah. and reminds them how simple and easy life can be
yeah.
if they let it. And I think this is, like, his... like holding out his hands and saying, let me take some, yeah. you know, let me help.
It can be such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, love it so much. So in verse 2, he says, a soft voice whispering beside me, a gentle and warm touch offered, the trembling of my breath filled with excitement, this cozy flutter spreads more and more. In this verse, it feels like BTS is reuniting. It mm-hmm. feels like they're coming back together. These are maybe some of the feelings that he had when he got out of the military and they all came to meet him. And, you know, they got to embrace again. And now as they're getting so close to everyone being discharged and, you know, BTS all coming back as a group, these feelings must be mounting even greater. The flutter, instead of being nervous, is now cozy, which is leaning towards the excitement and the eagerness. Instead of being scared, you're more eager, you're enthusiastic about it.
I love that reference back to those lyrics previously.
Me too.
That's changed. Those nerves have changed. They've gone from, you know, shaking nervousness, and now it's a flutter of excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like his personal journey too, as he's been successful with his album releases and his solo time. And so it's like, it's twofold there.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, the tremble in his breath is excited, and it's not scared now. You know, he's not worried about being clumsy. He's excited to continue on their journey and do the yeah. work together.
Right. Yeah. So in this last pre-chorus, he says, in faint memories embracing me, that longing touch is coloring me. On the traces left, at the end of the passing breeze, quietly making me cry, leading me with a small whisper. And the mention of memories bringing color back into his life, it just shows that there's such fullness in life with BTS together for him. And that here he's saying he has a cry of gratitude and appreciation to be back together. It's like coming back home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Incredible. We just immediately was like, this is a BTS song.
For
this
sure.
is a song from him to BTS, to his members, about the time they've been apart, the excitement to come back together, and kind of his personal journey. And I think with such a small crew working on the song, with Jin writing, with P-Dog producing, mm-hmm. it can be nothing else. Yeah. You know,
with definitely. The clouds, they're high up.
Soaring with the clouds.
They are soaring with the clouds.
Love yeah. it. Let's get into background. So the song has quite a few writers. So Jin did not write on this song, but this song does feel very personal to Jin. There are a couple producers, Sean Fisher, Martin Wave, Enrique Maza Sanchez. Some of the writers, Neil Ormandy, Francis Carroll, Liv Miraldi, Sean Fisher again. And there's, you know, a handful of more. Oh, Ellie Suh's on this too. We've seen her a couple times.
Yes.
I forget, was she on Jin's Happy album or was somebody else's? Because her name has come up
before.
It
looks familiar. I can't
recall. It seems like longer before, like maybe on a Yoongi or a J-Hope album.
Yeah.
But for the production of the song, I mean, you guys know I love the song already. This is our ballad.
Mm-hmm.
This is our full deep voice Kim Seok Jin. I mean, Bethany mentioned earlier in Rope It, we really get that low register from him. This song has that beautiful low register that is just so, so gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, it has this gorgeous piano melody that just floats along. And being a ballad, there is tons tons of emotional build here. The guitar is riffing, the drums are coming in at the chorus, there's emphasis on his vocals throughout, and there's lots of crescendo on his vocals as well, and how he delivers his verses and choruses, kind of going in and then pulling it back at the right moments to kind of leave you with that little bit of feeling of like, oh, mm-hmm. oh man, you know, stab me right in the chest.
Yes.
It makes us feel the longing through his delivery, but it's also, it's just so epic and gorgeous. It really, just listening to it made us think about Moon. Mm-hmm. Before reading the lyrics, we're like, this feels like his song Moon, just in the style of what he's, you know, the vocal delivery of what he's telling us. Uh-huh. And I cannot praise enough the vocal runs at the end. The first time I heard this song and I hear him go, background, you know, just going, oh my God.
I know.
Gorgeous. I can't get enough of it. I would like re-listen to the song just to get to that part, because it is just, I mean, it's incredible. It's like a perfect way to start to end the song.
Yeah.
He gives us every single like vocal technique that he could in here. Huge wide range, and it's just beautifully, beautifully executed.
Absolutely. The vocal technique is fully on display for him here. Like, you hear just how strong of a vocal ability that he has. This song, first time listening through, I mean, Kayla, you got to experience what I was feeling, because I was sitting there like just arching my head back, gripping my chest. Like, the song nearly made me cry with his vocal technique that he does. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Even without knowing what it's about, you feel a swell of emotions. Like, Jen is singing right to us, wishing us only the best. It gives me the same emotions that, like, You'll Be in My Heart by Phil Collins. Like, you know how that song just, like, I mean, anyone could cry to that song hearing it. Like, it's just, that's the emotional impact that this song has. Yeah.
Totally.
And going back to Moon, I think it makes sense, because Moon is all about like, you're the earth, I'm the moon, I'm so small and insignificant. Mm-hmm. And background, instead of being like the forefront, he's saying I'm in the background.
Yeah. You know? And like, when we saw the title and we listened to the highlight medley of this song, we were wondering, like, is he really, like, is he gonna be once again positioning himself in regards to ARMY, like, in the background, mm-hmm. just kind of like what he did with Moon. And diving into the lyrics here, it does feel like that. This feels like, as like his last song was his song to BTS, this is very much his song to ARMY.
Yeah.
So let's dive in. In the first verse, he says, I still live there. I'm going to cry just reading these lyrics. Yeah. Jesus. I still live there in the season where your whole world was me. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is like, this is pre-military, pre-COVID, before like Map of the Soul 7 tour was taken from us and he never got to perform Moon live mm-hmm. on tour for ARMY. And this is like the golden era of BTS. This is where it's taking us.
Yeah, like Love Yourself. Oh, stop it. Like, I mean, he still lives Idol, there.
Wings, like touring and performing for ARMY, feeling that connection all the time. For him to say, I still live there. Like, that is where his mind still goes to so easily.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Us too, Jen.
Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. this is also the only song that he mentions Echo, and he says it echoes back and hurts me again. And it just shows that it hurts him to think back to it, how he misses it. And yeah, there's some kind of strong validation and connection I feel with Jen, knowing that not only do I look so fondly at that time, but so does he.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why that's validating. Like, I feel like we could all assume that BTS feel that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just nice to hear.
It feels good to know that that time was just as important for them as it was for us.
Yeah.
Collectively.
Yeah.
I also love that this is the only time that he's using the word echo on mm-hmm. the whole album. It makes this song in particular stand out, mm-hmm. knowing that the title of the album is Echo, mm-hmm. and he's talking about like echoing back to these like kind of glory ages
yes.
of BTS and ARMY. I think mm-hmm. that's a beautiful sentiment, yeah. a lot of depth there. In the chorus, this is when, if you don't already believe that it is, this is when for us it becomes obvious that this is a song to and about ARMY, because he says, this pitch black night with no stars, onto the stage with the lights off, remaining like a late after image, I'm still wandering, maybe in another place, in another time. If I could turn it back, would I be by your side then? Me waiting for you, I'll be here in the background. And so immediately with the onto the stage with the lights off, that makes us think about the performance being on there. But now, you know, if he would have gone like during COVID, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. There's no one there. And it really gives Moon lyrics, like the mention of the black night without the stars. Army are the stars that bring light to his life. You think about like the army bombs that light up. Mm-hmm. And it's like really centering us as that experience for him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And these lyrics are just gut-wrenching because he sings in English, maybe in another place, another time. If I could turn it back, would I be by your side then, me waiting for you here in the background? And mm-hmm. so it just shows that he's waiting for us as much as we've been waiting for him.
Yeah.
But he's in the background and really we're still the center of his world. We're at the forefront. Yeah. That stage is meaningless if there's not mm-hmm. the stars of Army and the army bombs in the audience. Yeah.
As if he thinks we've just gone on without him.
Yeah.
And he's stuck there frozen in time. And that's... I mean, it couldn't be further from the truth, but yeah. you know, it has been, it's been hard for these past 2 years with them being in the military and even before that with COVID and them not being able to tour. You know, I think a lot of Army are really missing them all around the world. There's many places in the world they haven't been to since 2017, 2016.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
but I mean, you could see his concern though about where is Army now? Where mm-hmm. does Army stand? Because he hasn't seen us or been with
or
us
or heard
so
from
long.
Us or yeah, yeah totally. In the second verse, he says, painted with different colors, dreams that mingled as we became stained by each other. And I love these lines. It immediately made me think of, again, the colors of army bombs and stage lights as he's on stage, but also the diversity of Army, how different we are all around the world, and kind of celebrating that. The additional line, dreams that mingled as we became stained by each other. To us, we really thought about how those concert moments changed us and impacted us forever.
Rest
if you're at
eyes,
a concert
yeah.
with, you know, with BTS and with the rest of Army, you are impacted and you take that with you. You carry that in your heart. It is something that is unchangeable, cannot be taken, and it really is like stained on you, you
yeah.
know?
We've talked about BTS concerts feeling like life experiences, like yeah. true, like large monumental moments in life. Absolutely. Yeah, it stained on us forever. Very yeah. impactful. He also goes on to say the fact that they're gradually being forgotten, just talking a little bit about like those memories, mm-hmm. you know, those dreams. And it's painful, but it's true because it's just been so long since they've toured that it's kind of easy over time for it to start to be forgotten. Like you just can't remember it as clearly. He says, my traces that have become the last, like the past has worn because so much time has passed now. And that he even goes on to say, we've been waiting, even the waiting has become quite bearable. And it's just showing like so much time has gone past that, like at the beginning, when they went into the military, it was super painful being apart. But having to wait such a long time, the waiting becomes bearable because right. you're just, it's become kind of a new norm now. It's not so fresh and sore. Thinking, oh, I miss them, you know.
And even that's a sad sentiment. Like
it is.
That is like the worry of him that he's getting at is like the army has moved on without him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we've waited enough that it doesn't hurt so much to miss them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, on our side, it feels okay to not miss them so bad. Like it's relieving to not like be terribly missing them all the time. But of course, you know, you and I will both have random times. We'll be like, oh my God, I miss Taeyong so much.
Yeah.
I miss RM so much. Like
yeah.
just hearing from them, hearing their music, seeing them on stage. Like we do genuinely miss them, even if it's not like a daily occurrence.
Right.
But just naturally, you know, humans being able to cope and adapt, it does become more bearable over time. And I think, you know, he's getting at that. That's kind of sad.
It is.
That it's been so long that we're able to cope with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what true, honest lyrics Yeah.
Oh yeah. The honesty here. They're so genuine. They're so beautiful. I can't believe he did not write on this song.
Yeah.
Because they do feel so personal.
Yeah.
They feel incredibly personal to him and what he wants to tell Army right now. And like, I mean, again, his vocal delivery.
Yeah, maybe he was a creative director on it or something.
Right.
Like, he still had some kind of hand or say in it. Yeah.
I can imagine that for sure. Yeah. He was like, this is my theme. This is what I want to talk about. And then somebody, put those into lyrics. Yeah. I agree.
Absolutely. Gorgeous song. Definitely one of the best on the album, too.
This is my favorite on the album. Uh-huh. This is why I had to hold out from Rope It, because I'm a sucker for a ballad, but I just damn, this song is so freaking gorgeous. Yeah. So, this is my
favorite. All the emotion and background. Yeah. Okay, so the last song on the album is To Me Today. This was produced strictly by P-Dawg. There's a handful of writers. We have Ninos Hanna, William Sirgaldil, Sakodomo, Ellie Suz on it, Ghost Loop, some familiar names. So the production of the song, it's very outro credit roll. It works perfectly as the very last song on the album.
Totally.
Kayla, you said it's getting some anime outro at the end of a season with like a happy ending.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just like rock out to it. I'm like, oh yeah. I can see like the montage of all the characters being successful at the end. Yeah.
The song starts slow, but the chorus is very upbeat and hopeful. It really builds at the chorus, starts to pick up some tempo. The drums coming in at the chorus really lift and propel the song forward in a super hopeful spirit. There's a lot of hope that you get in this song. Just overall very uplifting. It makes you feel like the future's gonna be all right.
Yeah, future's gonna be okay.
Okay.
Actually, I feel like I'm soaring. I'm in the clouds with Jin when I listen to this song. Mm-hmm. This is also a song where it has great lyrics, like don't get us wrong, but we don't have to read into every single lyric here because there's more of like an overall message. So we're just gonna talk about the lyrics very briefly here. These lyrics are very much about living in the moment, being in the present, and leaving your worries for tomorrow. Like, the worries are always going to be here. That's a part of life, but you get to decide how you feel about them today. Mm-hmm. And today he wants to feel grateful. Let's all together feel grateful for what we have in life, where your life is at, that this moment that you're experiencing right now is once in a lifetime, and you should trust yourself and live the life you want to live. Very affirming. It's almost like, I mean, we're feeling that spark of life and that joy of passion through his delivery and through these lyrics. And it's really exciting you and really encouraging at the same time. Like Bethany said, this is a great outro for the album. I think that it's a great way to like get that last oomph of encouragement for listeners here at the end of the album.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it also rephrases and emphasizes a lot of what Rope It talks about too. To fly with your broad shoulders. That's one of the lyrics. Fly with your broad shoulders, which is such a Jin nugget there that we get. And wings, it also mentions wings, into where you want to go in life. So iconic of him to have spread your shoulders and soar, and the spread your wings reference. But it's really saying live in the present and do what you want to do. This is your moment.
Yeah.
Don't worry too much about the future. Don't just think about the past and sit in the past. Like, right. Be present. Trust yourself. Do what you're meant to do.
Listen to your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. And it is beautiful. And I love that it's bringing in the Rope It themes again. Mm-hmm. Very, very great themes throughout this album. I love the continuity that we got going from Happy into Nothing Without Your Love, like that Running Wild, Nothing Without Your Love a little bit there. Mm-hmm. And then as we progress through this album, not only do we get tons of different genres and styles here. We got a ton of amazing Jin vocals on display. We really get to see his range. But ultimately, really, really wonderful themes and messages that Army, we always love as we listen to BTS music.
I think it's a very likable album with all of the different genres that you get in it, the wonderful messages, the K-drama sounds, the fun, playful country or alternative punk, and then these super heartfelt messages here at the end. I just feel like it's got it all. It's like Echo has it all.
Echo does have it all.
Yeah.
Echo has it all. There's no skips on the album. Mm-mm. It is just, I mean, it's amazing.
We're really happy with it.
I love it. I mean, honestly, genuinely 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I hope that Jin is so happy with this album and how it came out. I hope that he's so excited to tour for it and with Happy and with the Astronaut. Because it's been fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And what if, this is the other thing about him touring, what if he performs awake? I think you said this
to me. I need you
to
stop, okay? I need to stop thinking about not going to his concert because you know it's just gonna be top tier, 10 out of 10, best, one of your best nights of your life. Right. Whoever gets to go and be with Jin and hang out with him, it's gonna be a concert like no other concert you've been to.
And we'll be here in the background.
Stop it.
Yeah. But we love this album.
Yeah.
Let us know, you know, if you're listening on Spotify, get in the comments on Spotify. Tell us what you think about the album.
Tell us your favorite song. What do you think the best track is on the album?
Yes. What's your favorite track on the album? You know, get with the other army on our Instagram comments and, you know, connect with them and get to know each other about this album as well. Thank you all so much for being here and for all of your support. We love you. We appreciate you listening. Can't wait to hang out with you this Tuesday, the 27th, at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time for the iconic hangout, Jin Jeopardy.
Jin Jeopardy.
Of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.